Since we're talking about community today, I kind of hate to stop the fellowship that's going on here. That's good. A couple weeks ago, the Raps are living in a neighborhood that got hit by all the hail and the terrible weather, which I don't know how many of you guys got hit by that as well. But so our neighborhood has been inundated with solicitors, you know, knocking on the door, asking for, for our business, to repair that car, repair the house, the roof, that sort of thing. And yesterday, apparently, I wasn't there, but apparently one of the kids told me that mom answered the door and saw who it was and said, "Thank you, we don't need you," and just shut the door. And that's totally unlike my wife, who is very consistent to do right by people and to be kind to people. And so, we're talking about community, and I feel like it's more difficult in this world to have community because of things like that. I feel like there's more pressure there's so much interaction and connection going on that so much is like, stay away. I feel like the way it used to be, and one of my sons told me, "Dad, you always go nostalgic," but the Bible's nostalgic, okay? So we're going to go back to the Bible, so I'm going to go ahead and go here, but I feel like community was a little bit easier back in the day. I picture, at least when I was a kid even, like when the doorbell would ring at your house, it was like, "There's the doorbell. Somebody's here." You know, kids would come downstairs and slide over. "Who is it? Who is it?" And they open the door and be like, "Bob and Susie, we're so glad you're here. Come on in. We always have cookies. Cookie, come get a cookie. We're just sit down. We'd love to visit with you." Community was important. It was easier. I feel like back then. Now, I mean, at least in my house, it's like the doorbell rings. It's like, "Everybody, get down. Shh. It's a roofer. It's another roofer. Shh. Okay. Stay there. I can see you through that window. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Who's coming down the stairs? Get down. Where's my pistol? Just in case. Where's my pistol? Okay. All right. Who is it? Okay. I know. It's just the neighbor. Come on. Anyway. I'm out of breath now, but today we're talking about community, and it's commanded by God. And it's a great and wonderful thing. Let me define it for us. Community comes from the word koinonia, which is in our scripture today. We'll read here in a second. And it's translated fellowship. And it literally means participants or sharers or messmates. It's a lot more than just getting people together for punch and cookies. For gatherings like that. We're called to share our lives with one another. Do we have that? Do you have that? Do you have this intertwining of your life? It's hard in today's world, isn't it? I'm sorry if this thing is not fitting right on me. Well, if we do church like this, intertwined in community, sharing deeply with one another. It's incredible. What does it look like? In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, it's going to give us three attributes of this koinonia that I want us to look at. And it's something that every person in this room desires, I guarantee it. Even though we may not know it quite yet, we do. So what does it look like? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. 41, I'll start with 41, go to 47. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, there's that word koinonia, fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That was an exciting time, wasn't it? You can feel it. You can feel it. So what did it look like? Well, to me, it kind of felt like heaven on earth. And as I watched that video, I get that sense too, like this is what life is about. You know, Jim was praying for us to impact these kids. That's a joke. I know as well as anybody that I'm the one who's going to be affected. And if we can get on mission together, there's no telling what God can do through us. Well, the first attribute I want to bring up as we discuss this value of Christ Community Church being community, it's this. In biblical community, there's a reverence for God. Did you see that? We see in the beginning of actually chapter 2, we didn't read, but the context is the Holy Spirit has come after Jesus is resurrected, and Jesus says, I'm going to send a helper, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes in power, and he gives tongues to the apostles so that the people that were there in Jerusalem that day could hear the gospel, the truth about Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. They could hear it in their own language, and many were getting saved. 3,000 were saved. The apostles must have been besides themselves. In fact, they continued to be amazed. You know, we see verses 42 to 47. They're filled with gratitude to God, and they were praising him. Imagine there's a lot of singing going on. And they were praying continually, and gathering in the temple. And God was doing amazing things in their midst. We don't see any evidence that the apostles were pretty proud about this. They recognized that it came from God. For community to happen, it's got to coincide with this humble, reverential respect for God. Now let's think for a second why God was doing all of this. He was initiating the church. Last week, Seth talked about the Word. It all begins with the Word. And the Word tells us that he's going to build his church on us, the church, the community. And so so he was doing this. Isn't it interesting that 3,000 people got saved when the Spirit of love and life came? You think about when Moses brought the law. What did it bring? 3,000 people died. The Spirit gives life, and these people were experiencing the joyful fulfillment of the Old Testament. And all the miracles that were going on was evidence of God's great love towards us. God is a relational God. That's what community is called for between us. He's a triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a relationship. Adam and Eve. Adam needed Eve. We're the bride of Christ. Holy Spirit resides in us. We in Jesus and God in us as well. Love this. Well, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And so this is a realization that if God could love me, well, I want to celebrate God's love and with my brothers and sisters in Christ, which brings me to point number two. The attribute number two that I see is that biblical community is intimate and not superficial. God is not some ogre up in the sky commanding this or that, but he actually came down, became a man, and interacted and loved and served and died because he loves us. So, biblical community, catch this. This is a good definition. It's life on life with other believers, plain and simple. It's us doing business with one another. If you review verses 42 to 47, we see that the believers were continually devoted to God, right? In their praise, in their prayers, and they were devoted to this fellowship. this team, this family. Bread fellows, as it were, is another way to explain koinonia, to be sharing bread with one another. It's part of the reason we do communion. We're participating together and with the breaking of bread. Think of Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Jesus says, "and if anyone should open the door, I'll come into him and dine with him, and he with me." God is a God of relationship. And it ain't superficial. And it's not individualistic either. We're not to be lone rangers in this. We need each other. It's integral to our faith. So, what does biblical community look like? We find descriptions in biblical community all throughout Scripture. And I've put a few actually on the worship guide, but it's in code because I'm just trying to make things interesting here for you today. Some of you guys have been trying to figure out those. Some of you guys already know what some of those are, but if you would, you could turn there on your little outline and walk through this with me, and this is going to help us understand what does biblical community look like. And I wonder if it looks like that for you here at Christ Community Church, because we want it to be. If we are not living out community here, if you aren't living out community here, if I'm not, we're missing it. For sure. And it's pretty awesome. Now, whether you're married or single or whatever, it doesn't matter. We need one another in this. So, the first one, LOL. Easy, right? What is that? This text abbreviation. You guys use it a lot, don't you? Debbie Songer, I know you use it a lot. Okay? Laugh out loud. Okay, you guys are participating. It's okay. Laugh out loud. Thing I want to point out is that life is joyful. There is joy in Christ. And there's joy in community. I think of Paul. He says, even in prison, his letters just drip with affection towards other people he's writing to. You know, the Christians in Ephesus and Colossae and Rome. I love you guys. He's saying, you mean so much to me, and I rejoice in the Lord because of you. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be made full." I love Psalm 98:4 through 9. It says, "Let all the earth make a joyful noise, joyful song together." Now, I ask some of the community group leaders to share with me what makes community group so great. What makes biblical community great? And that's amazing answers. It was like, man, your community group is doing it right. Well, regarding joy, I didn't ask them that. They solicited this, or that's not the right word. They told me what it was. They said, "It's contagious. We have fun together, and others want it too. They see it." So, biblical community is enjoyable. Number two, the BFF. We know what that abbreviation is: best friends forever. We're companions now and forever. We're bread fellows. And because of that, we're to have this humility of mind that we regard one another as more important than ourselves, as Paul says in Philippians. It's this humility that says, I'll be your friend and you're my friend forever. We're companions. We're in this together. And we bear one another's burdens. We bear one another's burdens. And I'm so thankful to be able to be that to somebody who is in need. And I'm so thankful for those who are doing that for me. That is biblical community. Do you have that? Do you have that? Well, the next one is WITW. Does anybody know what that is? $5 if you can get this. Okay. How'd you know? Oh, yeah. Who told you? Okay. What in the world? You're so hip. What are you, like 60 and you know what WIT up? You're like 90 and you know what WIT? That's impressive. What in the world? By that, I mean this, that we pursue one another. I mean, if I'm going off the rails, somebody grab me, right? That's love. That's love. I want to be that for you too. Whoever's in my community, I want to reach out to you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to spur each other on to God's calling in our life, our purpose on this planet. We're supposed to sharpen each other's. Iron sharpens iron. LMK, the next one. Let me know. Good job. Thanks for participating. We need to be sensitive to our own sin. I need to be humble enough to be able to say, hey, how am I blowing it, John? Or did I offend you in this way? I need to ask your forgiveness for that. And it's this humility that you have to have, an essential element in community. Now, how great is it when you've got brothers and sisters that can be like that with one another? Love that. God gives grace to the humble. And so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Listen to this. I think that we live with the devil when our sin lives in secrecy. That scares me. The community group said this. They said, when there is sin, there is confession to one another, and there is healing. That's James 5:16. How many of you guys are confessing your sins to one another? The devil loves it when we don't do that. I want to be a community that is able to be real like that. I think you do too. 831. Didn't know what this was, but 831 means I love you. Eight letters, three words, one meaning. So not only am I devoted wholeheartedly to God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but I love you. I love my neighbor as I love myself. That's what it means. To be devoted to one another in love. Not just like, hey, love you, man, but I mean, I'm with you through thick or thin. All right, 14AA41. Probably figure that one out. What is it? Thank you. Yes. One for all for one. We are the body of Christ. Isn't it great to be part of a body? Isn't it great? I don't have to have all the gifts to be part of the body. You don't have to have all the gifts. I need you. And we need each other to be the body of Christ. I love it. But God designed it. There's freedom in that. There's peace. There's relief. Every member is significant to this body. And each gift is from God. It's valuable. It's to be prized. Because we're subject to God, who is Christ, who's the head. The community group said it like this. They said, the diversity that we have in a group causes a variety of sanctifying perspectives and wisdom. They were thankful for that. SOS, the international call sign for help, right? We're there for each other. Friends you can trust. Bear one another's burdens if we fulfill the law of Christ. Because we're all just needy sheep. We're herd animals. And we need one another. Okay? T4BY. What's that? That's a hard one. I just looked these up on the internet. These are all legit. I don't ever use these, ever. You'll never see me text any of these silly codes, but what does that mean? Any idea?
Thanks for being you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. That's right. Thanks for being yourself. Linda Ayers accepts me for who I am, and she loves me. And I need that. I appreciate that so much about her. Important thing here, what I'm trying to say is that we're called to be authentic. We're called to be real with one another. Not putting on fronts. We're not, you know, putting on a mask, which is what it means to be a hypocrite. And how easy is it to come to church all prim and proper and feeling like we can skate through the church and feeling okay about ourselves and everybody else feeling, and who's tired of that? I mean, I'm tired of life is too short to be a part of what we call church, and we aren't doing this with one another where we're real. You know, if we want to see revival happen in our hearts and in our church, it starts with us being real and honest, asking forgiveness, confessing our sins before God, praying, all these elements that we see in communion and community. So thanks for being yourself. I was thinking about this. Last couple of weeks, really in light of the roofers, the guys who were stopping by and making these deals and promises, and one guy was saying, hey, listen, if you go with me, we'll be able to tell the insurance company it's going to be, you know, a little bit more, and they'll be able to kick back some money for you so it'll take away some of your deductible cost. And I'm thinking, man, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. That would be terrible. I do not want to be a part of something that's deceit, because here it is. There's no tolerance for deceit. I was looking up years ago, in the Bible, what are the biggest abominations in the book of Proverbs? I was fascinated because I kept seeing abomination, abomination. The number one abomination was lying, deceit, that sort of thing. And I was like, at the time, I was like, why is that? I understand now, this week. Where we have relationships and society that are based upon deceit, there's no trust. Where there's no trust, there's no relationship. So if we wonder in this room why we don't have a closeness, a bonding of relationships, is I wonder if we're not being real with each other, if we're relying on our masks and don't know what to do about it. I understand. Well, we're all tempted to lie. Matter of fact, University of Massachusetts of Amherst did a study a while back, said that 60% of us lie within the first 10 minutes of a conversation. In other words, if we're speaking for 10 minutes, 60% of us are not telling the truth. In fact, we're telling about 2.5 lies in those 10 minutes. That's staggering to me, and it's keeping us from experiencing life the way God intended it in community, where there's trust, where there's life, where there's growth. Because there is no life, there is no trust, there is no growth where there is without truth, without trust. There's no genuineness. Aren't you glad that God is trustworthy? And we want to be trustworthy because God is truth. God is trustworthy. We want to be holy because God is holy. We want to be kind because God is kind, and merciful because God is merciful. These are the qualities that I want to be part of my character, and you want to be part of your character as we be real and authentic with one another. Finally, UDM, you to man. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. You to man. We're supposed to encourage one another. How much? Day after day. And don't we need it? Not flattery, but encouragement. Keep going. You're doing great. Hey, thank you for being who God made you to be. You did a great job with this and that. Whatever it is, we want to encourage one another. A community group said this. He said, one of them said, they said, we are each other's loudest cheerleaders. Everybody needs some cheerleaders. Everybody needs some cheerleaders. Well, maybe the best verse, and I didn't put this up here, but explaining biblical community is 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, to do this. One, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all. Isn't that a great one for community? Isn't that a great one for Christ Community Church? I like the way Todd Wagner said it. He said, what if I told you that there was a group of people who would love you like that, like we just described? I'm sure you'd say, absolutely. Count me in. Listen, You can't be serious about Jesus and say that you're not going to read your Bible. You can't be serious about Jesus and say you're not going to pray. You can't be serious about Jesus and not be in relationship with one another. It's a command of God. It's the way God intended it to be. It's His game plan. So if you're serious about Jesus, this is good. The world will see you coming. This is the third point I wanted to make, and the third attribute of biblical community is that when we live in biblical community, we impact culture. God uses us to impact our world with the gospel. Look at verse 47. They were praising God. They were having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. What an exciting time to be there, right? When you and I demonstrate this Christ-like love and this reverential awe for God, we stand out. Todd Ings from Austin Stone says this. He says, the most profound argument for the Christian faith is the Christian community. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, let me sum it up. God has called us to live with our body of believers in life-on-life relationships. We're devotedly loving God and devoted to loving one another authentically so that we can impact our world for Christ. So how are we doing? C3, how are you doing? How are we doing loving one another, being real and transparent, sharing our lives with one another, foregoing our comforts for one another, maybe our possessions? Life is a vapor. I don't need the esteem of man. I don't need riches of this world. I want people to know Christ. And maybe we can say like Paul, who says, "For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, it will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire both to be with Christ. That's very much better. Yet to remain on with you is more necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain here with you for your progress and joy in the faith." That's why we're here. Francis Chan once said, I can't do it like him, but he says, if I just read the scriptures, I wouldn't even think so much about the gathering. You know, my first thought wouldn't be, hey, let's get together and have a gathering, like a pizza party or something. But out of the scriptures, I would think, I'm on a mission. Like, I love this God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now I've got to go out and make disciples. That's what I would think. I need to go out there. I need to reach as many people as I can. I'm supposed to teach them to obey everything that God commands. And that's what I would get out of scripture. And then I believe that what would naturally happen is suddenly I would find those other people who feel the same way and they're on the same mission. And we'd be the weirdest people on the planet. We'd stick out. We'd be so different. And the pressure to always stay on that mission, everyone else would be beating on me down, so I'd actually need these brothers and sisters in my life and tell them, hey, don't let me slow down, and I won't let you slow down. We've got to stay on this mission together. See, this is why I wasn't into fellowship before, because I didn't need any more friends to talk to. I didn't need any more fellowship like the American church says it is. But to stay on mission every day, I need people, because I'm going to get distracted. There's so many things I would rather do in my flesh than make disciples. So I need people in my life to tell me this and that. And that's what I would get out of scripture. I got to go out and start making disciples. And as I did that, I really believe that I would start gathering with other people and doing the same thing. That's C3. That's you and me. Well, if you don't have this, Let's find people. We've got community. That's why we have community groups. That's why you see evidence of this koinonia, this fellowship, this deep care for one another happening. It's happening in these small groups, just like it happened here when the church first began. I love this. We get together. We do this together. Don't have to say anything, but who's with me? Who wants this? Let's do this together. I'm just going to leave some practical application here, but Tuesday morning at 6:30, I'm going to be in here, and I'm going to pray. If I'm the only one in here praying, I want to pray for our church. I want to pray for you. Pray for the pastoral search. I'm going to pray for the elders. I'm going to pray for whatever's going on, because God is in this with us. This is His church. I'm His. He is mine. I want to connect with Him. I want to connect with you. So I'll be here at 6:30 if you can make it. If you can't, doesn't mean you're not spiritual or anything. It means you just can't do it. I understand. Let's pray together. Let's be with each other. And let's serve Christ together in community. Father, I am thankful that you're good. You're fun. You're righteous. You're with me. You care. You know what's going on in my life. You know what temptations I face. You provide a way of escape. You led me to this church. You gave me brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, make us the body of Christ the way you intended. I pray this in your name. Amen.